Starting next Wednesday, drivers all across the state of Washington will be paying even more at the gas pump. The state's gas tax increases yet again. Republicans are arguing something pretty straightforward. Families are reaching a breaking point. Many of them have already reached that point, especially since we're paying some of the highest fuel prices in the country, thanks in large part to the Climate Commitment Act. State Senate Republican Judy Warnick is now calling on Governor Bob Ferguson to provide immediate relief. He's indicated so far he's unwilling to do anything, instead pivoting and blaming all of this on Donald Trump. Joining me on the line is the Moses Lake Republican. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jason. Glad to be here.
So starting July 1st, our gas tax yet again goes up. For the people who are already struggling to pay for gas and, you know, buy groceries, housing, all these things, how much of a difference will this increase make?
It won't help whether it's going to increase our taxes again, but it won't help everybody else. In Washington or in the nation are going to have their gas prices go down because of what Trump has done. Now if Ferguson doesn't do his part and not sign that agreement, then the prices are going to stay the same. Whether they'll go up a little bit, I don't know. But I did it primarily. I want to point out the effect that this has on our agricultural producers, mm-hmm. our rural people, you know, the farm workers who have to drive to work, the farmers who have to bring commodities in and run the tractors. And, you know, there was a ruling just today or yesterday. Farmers are still not going to get a break. The Farm Bureau had filed a lawsuit. And the case came before the Supreme Court, and they ruled against the Farm Bureau. So I'm just asking for some relief. Everybody else is getting relief. We're not. So
this is part of the increase in the – it's a 2% adjustment required under the transportation package that was signed into law last year by Governor Ferguson. The gas tax will climb to 56.5 cents per gallon. It's just an automatic inflation hike. Previously, Republicans have asked the governor to give us a gas tax holiday. He said no. Sounds like even the idea of not going up 2%, even temporarily, is just too much for him. What's your response to his reasoning? He keeps blaming this on Donald Trump.
Donald Trump is doing everything he can to lower the cost. And so why the governor thinks that this is going to be Trump's fault, I have no idea. I don't understand that reasoning because, again, Trump is doing everything he can. He worked to get the Strait of Hormuz open. That's 20% of the fuel that we're going to be using. And it's open, going to come down. The prices are going to come down. And unfortunately, not for Washington state drivers.
And it's, I mean, look, it's certainly true. It's accurate to say that during the Iran war, the price of gas went up. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. And he's using that to try to obfuscate the actual issue, which is gas prices going back down to where they were. And right now, today, the national average is $3.92. which we would kill for $3.92 because here in Washington across the Strait is $5.27 a gallon, which is the third highest in the country behind Hawaii and California. But the reality is, even if things went back to normal, we would still be paying an incredible amount.
Exactly. And that's why I said it's not going to help Washington if the prices go down, because of what Washington State did years ago. And with California and Quebec, where are their prices? I'm not sure. So I'm very disappointed that the governor, maybe he's considering it. That's why I put it out. But I doubt that he's even considering it at this point.
Yeah, when he's pretending that this is a Donald Trump problem, the Democrats have essentially argued that the fuel taxes are necessary to fund transportation and environmental priorities. So how do you balance those goals with this affordability crisis with Washington state families?
Yeah, that's, you know, my husband and I just took a drive to go up in my district this morning to look at the damage by one of the wildfires in the north part of my district. So it was a tour. We took a little bit of a self-guided tour. That would take away the ability for families to do that, for legislators to do that, just to drive up and look at the damages. Because we were sightseeing is what we were doing. That's one of the items that my family used to do all the time. That's going to take away that ability for families just to connect with where they live and look at Washington State. So not it's taking away the ability for people to afford to go to work, especially in rural areas. You know, if you have to drive 20 miles to work, which some of our folks do, you know, it's not helpful at all to have to pay those exorbitant prices.
State Senator Judy Warnick joining me on the line, a Republican from Moses Lake. At the same time, Senator Governor Bob Ferguson laid out his fiscal approach for this upcoming legislative session, and he was asked specifically if Democrats were to pass another tax increase, whether or not he would veto it. Here's what he said.
Well, you're talking about, first of all, something that's many months away. First thing, what I've got in front of me is my proposed budget, which will not have taxes. Number two, what I'm communicating to legislators is my expectation is we get through this budget cycle this next session without raising taxes. And I'm being very clear about that expectation.
Okay. So how is that any different to what he said in the past? He promised not to raise taxes and then he raised taxes to historic levels. Should anyone believe Bob Ferguson?
On that? No, I'm highly skeptical about that because there was that promise right away. That first state of the state address. We're not going to raise taxes. His campaign, we're not going to raise taxes. And then the first thing he does is sign the largest tax increase ever. And I'm sorry, I'm talking too fast. You're getting me all wired up. An income tax.
Yeah.
And they are doing that. They are doing that on purpose. They're hoping that's going to go to court too. So we'll see. But I'm not positive that he would stick to his guns because the party itself just has this propensity to spend. And you know, Senator Gregoire got it right. We have a spending problem. We don't have a revenue problem. So,
and yet the Democrats haven't changed their tune. I mean, Jamie Peterson, the Democratic leader, gave an interview to Fox 13 saying he would like to see the income tax reach all Washingtonians. It seems like they're setting this up for an increase in taxes no matter what happens. If the court says yes to the income tax, they'll just move forward with the income tax and eventually it will hit us. If they say, no, you can't do it the way you did it, they'll immediately come back and say, okay, now we got to hit all Washingtonians.
Yes, and that's going to happen. The high earners income tax is not going to be enough for the appetite of the Democrat Party. It's just not going to be enough, especially when you see how many high-end earners are leaving the state,
exactly,
which they said would not happen. But adding this to, you know, this Climate Commitment Act pledge to this is going to hurt our constituents, my farmers especially, hurt them more than everything. And, you know, fertilizer, the cost of fertilizer depends on oil and and that too. So some of our farmers aren't even able to use fertilizer this year for their crops. So
The governor earlier today signed an executive order creating a 26-member Economic Development Council, which seems like a lot of people for a council if they actually plan on getting anything done. But the game plan, they say, is to create some sort of economic strategy that tries to keep Washington competitive while still creating jobs that pay well. Their plan is due next year in June, so a year from now. It seems to me like you don't need an economic development council to discuss what would make Washington competitive, because one thing that makes Washington competitive is no state income tax. And they're not only implementing a state income tax, but B&O taxes are going up and will continue to go up. Yeah. What in the world would you like to see from them other than them just come out and say, yeah, let's undo the things we just did in the course of the last several years?
And that's not going to happen, I don't think. What I would like to see this economic council that he's putting together be a balanced council. I'd like to see a mixture of business folks, agriculture folks, Republicans and Democrats. I'd like to have a good balance on that council, because if it's just friends of his or just people that believe he the way he does, it's not going to be a balanced recommendation. So that's my recommendation, but a mixture of folks on that council. But to come out and have the report come out a year from now, we've got a legislative session with another budget due at the end of that session in mid-spring. And the recommendations are going to be too late to really fix anything at this point.
So then, final question for you. You announced your retirement. You're leaving us. I mean, when you look at all the problems ahead and the role you've played in at least trying to stop this leftward creep in Washington, is there anything you look back and you're most proud of? And is there anything you look back during your career and say, I wish I had done this a little bit differently?
Well, I can't think of too many things I would have done differently other than try to get more Republicans elected. But, you know, I worked a lot on water issues, on agriculture related issues, and I am proud of what I did there. I'm proud of, yes, bringing the capital budget items back to our district. Every time I see what's happening right now, I maybe second guess my about retiring. But, you know, I've worked with some good people, and we have really good people in our caucus. More people are interested in coming to our caucus. So, it's 20 years. I've been there 20 years. Yeah. And I think none of us should have a free ride the whole, you know, as long as we want. So that's why it was my decision to leave after 20 years and let somebody younger and more ideas. So I've enjoyed in and out. It's been a huge honor to represent my district and the state.
We're so glad of the work that you did. We hate to see you go, but totally under 20 years doing anything is a long time. Yeah. And that commute from Moses Lake to Olympia is no joke. We've been talking with State Senator Judy Warnick. Senator, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks, Jason.
Of course. All right.